this morning, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and we're going to pick up some verses, make comments, and then into chapter 6 there. But if you turn to 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 4, first of all, 1 Samuel chapter 4, place of Samuel, and you're getting your place. I just want to thank the church for the prayer support, financial support for us out in the land of the Philippines. We hope to go back out again the first week of January to get stuck into it again. You'll be stuck in it more ways than one, so you will. At present, they're not able to take the van out because of the heavy rain now. It seems to be raining every day. In our expression, raining cats and dogs. And so the area is very, very muddy. But however, this morning there would be 100 plus children at Sunday school. They'll have walked in. They're away home now. And then also a morning service. There could be 40 to 50 people, adult folk, there off the site at the morning meeting. And then in the afternoon, they started a little meeting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon last week. And 16 people came and attended. And then on a Wednesday night, there'll be a prayer meeting. You could get between 10 and 20 people at the prayer meeting. So it's up and running now. So you pray that the Lord will keep his hand on it, on the work there, and then we will be like Joseph. You'll read about Joseph, that his branches spread out over the wall. That's what you read about Joseph in the book of Genesis. And so that would suggest outreach. We want our branches to spread out here, there, and yonder. And so you pray. For to do that, I might say this, for branches to spread out up over the walls, you need folk, helpers and workers, to make sure that they become branches. Isn't that right? And to be fruit-bearing branches. And so we need workers then to do that. Our mind would be in two areas in particular. Tenement area, high-rise flats there, broken down sort of area, and then dead end. We call it dead end because you break out into the marsh land and you can't go any further. So it's dead end. Amen. But down there, you could get a whole gang of kids and parents there as well. You could start a wee work down at dead end. So you could just go down and be there and start it. And we need workers. That's it. That's the crying need. Same in Coleraine. The same out there. Let's turn to the Bible. And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. And I encourage you to keep praying again there, brethren and sisters. There's hardly a Sunday that would go by. There's hardly a Sunday there where there would be somebody wanting to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts. So it's a wide open door. There's a desire to hear the word, and the Lord is saving people. If you look at verse 18 there, and it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. We're talking about Eli there. And then, if you look at verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Now you know the ark that was representing the power and the glory of the Lord, the presence of God. And now the Philistines had come in and invaded into the camp of Israel, stole away this ark, the treasured ark, and they took it back into their own land. And it caused constant problems for the Philistines when it was there. It was down there amongst the Philistines for 7 months. And everywhere they shifted it, it created problems for them. Now, you'll notice in chapter 5 and verse 1, and the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now, this is a pagan temple that they have brought the ark into. Dagon is a pagan idol sitting there, center of attraction. And the Philistines, they came and they prayed to Dagon. It was a fish god, half fish, half man. The upper part was man, the bottom part as in a fish's tail. Part man, part fish. It was their fish god. It was called Dagon. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is sitting beside this idol here in the temple. Now, look at verse 3. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, they were going to pray. That's why they got up early in the morning. They had made their way to the temple to pray to their idol. Idolaters pray. Heathen people pray, so the two. We know that they do not pray aright, but they pray. Some Christians don't pray at all. But here's these pagans, and they're up early, and they're in the temple, and they're praying. But what do they come across? Behold, can I talk to young people for Bible study? Young person today, you say, I'm stuck for Bible study. What do you do to study your Bible? How do I study the Bible? Well, if you take up the word behold, just the one word, behold, and you find out in your Bible the word behold, and you look at what comes after the word behold, it's simple Bible study for you. And when you read the word behold, always something interesting coming after the word behold. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's important, isn't it? You remember John the Baptist? Jesus comes along here, and he John's preaching, and he cries on the people to behold. Behold what? Or behold whom? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the secret in beholding the word behold is something important coming after that word. It's simple Bible study. Let's look at the word behold. Now, verse 3. Behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So when these pagan worshippers came into their temple, Dagon had fallen. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Bible tells us that every knee, someday every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And so here's this idol, and it had fallen before the presence and the power of the Lord. Now look what happens. What did they do? Look at the verse. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. So the simple lesson would be that God can topple an idol in my heart. God can speak to us in a service. The Lord can point out some things in our hearts. He wants to knock them over. And we can put the idol back again. Do you see that? Here's this idol. Who knocked it over? It was the Lord that knocked it over. Who puts it back in its place again? The hands of the idolaters. Do you see them? They come and they get their God and they prop them up again. So there's a wee lesson there, is there not? Sometimes we go out of a meeting determined to finish with this and fit that, put that right and all the rest of it. And by the time the weekend comes, it's propped up again. It's back again. But anyway, let's come now into chapter 6 here. And you'll see that they make a decision for this ark. We're sending it back into the camp of Israel again. This ark had proved to be troublesome to the Philistines, and now they're going to put it back again. Get rid of it. Let's get the ark out of our territory here. Send it back to Israel. Now, let's see how they do this. I want to just make comments on each verse as we look at it today. Verse 10. And the men did so, and took 2 milch kine, 2 cows. They take 2 cows. Notice what they do with the cows. And they took 2 milch kine, or 2 cows, and they tied them to the cart. Particularly young people this morning, I want to draw your attention to the fact that these 2 cows are tied to the cart. Tied. And then you'll notice, and shut up their calves at home. These 2 cows have a job to do now. They have, I suppose, the most important work that you can ever do. They are now going to bring the glory, the Ark of the Covenant, back to Israel. That's their work. I want to try, from the reading, to also challenge in particular again young people with a life in front of you, to challenge you for the need for you to present your life to God and let God take the life. What must happen? What has to be done for that to happen? So here's these two cows, and they're tied between the shafts of the cart. They're now going to take on the burden of bringing back the glory down to Israel. So that if you and I want to do anything for the Lord Jesus, you and I will need to be tied to the work of God. Tied to it. There may be the temptation for you to cut the ropes. There may be this temptation for to just stop going forward. You say, I want to go forward, and the devil will say, I stop you. You'll get that resistance. But here's the two cows tied to the cart. And you'll notice that in verse 10, there is a price to pay. Cost. Do you notice that their calves are shut up at home? Isn't that interesting? Here's something completely unnatural happening here. It's unnatural. The natural thing for you and me, the natural thing is for you and me to put our roots down in the country and live happily ever after. That's natural. The unnatural thing is when a boy or a girl comes to say, I feel God is speaking to me, and I feel that I should give my life to God, and that I feel that God would want me to become a missionary. That's the unnatural event in the heart. That's what we call supernatural. That's God working. The natural thing is for you and I just to remain in the comfort zone. It's called the comfort zone. Don't get too excited. Let someone else do it. Why is it so difficult today to get a Sunday school teacher to go overseas? No. To work in our own church? Why? Why is it difficult, brother, sister, for to get someone just to get up out of their beds that little bit earlier in the morning to take a class of children and teach them the word of the Lord? Or the afternoon? It's difficult these days. I know it's difficult because when I travel around churches, they tell me it's difficult for even to get teachers. How is it that it's difficult to get someone to volunteer their motor to bring children to the children's meeting? Why is that difficult? I suggest that we don't want to get out of our way of going or this comfort zone I want to control my own time if I committed myself to the teaching or the children's meeting night. That would disturb my way of going, and I don't want to do that. Well, there has to be sacrifice, giving up of our time. Here's the two cows. They're tied to the cart, and their calves are shut up at home. Their offspring, their calves, they're at home. They're shut up. Let's look at verse 12 there. We know the Philistines put a lot of gold mace and images and stuff around this cart, and it wasn't needed to do that, but that's what they did. But I want to keep your attention on the two cows, the two kine. Watch them. Do you see them now? They have been picked out from a lot of other cows out of a field. Amen. Imagine it. Now they're brought over, and they do have their offspring, but they have a work to do now. They're going to bring the glory back to Israel. So they're tied between the shafts. Now watch them, verse 12. And the kine took the straight way. The straight way. Isn't that interesting? Thank God for God's word to keep us straight. They're on the straight way. To the way of Beth Shemesh, verse 12, and went along the highway, lowing as they went. Do you hear them? Do you hear them lowing? A farmer said, Noel, I wouldn't know this. I'm from Belfast. A big farmer says to me, Noel, what you don't do is get in between a cow and the calf. Don't get in between them. Okay, yous would know that. But here's the kind, and this is now this supernatural taking over. This is unnatural now. Here's these two cows, and they're making their way by a straight method or a straight path, and they're going down to Beth Shemesh, and they're lowing, and they hear the calves lowing too. And the temptation now is to veer off to the right hand or to the left hand or to turn back. Is there a brother or a sister today and you remember walking dead straight? Prayer meeting? Activities in the church? Morning worship? Evening worship, you were there. But today, you've heard other calls in here. There's been other pressures put on the heart, and you've turned back. You've turned to the right or to the left. You've allowed the pressure or the calls to get in between us and the Lord. And the work of God, that happens, doesn't it? Well, let's keep our eye on the two cows, verse 12. And the kine took the straight way to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway. Amen. Notice that? They're on a highway here. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That might be a rocky way. Yes. Might be a rough way to serve the Lord, but it's a highway. Hallelujah. It's a highway. Amen. We're not promised an easy road. Sure we're not. You can't find a promise in the Bible that it's going to be a flowery bed of ease. We don't get that promise. But the Lord's with us. Amen. Went along the highway,
lowing as they went. Do you hear them lowing? Do you hear the cries of them? But they're not going to go left or right. They're going to keep going straight on. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, today I'm trying to encourage your heart. Have you run into problems? Maybe problems in the home. Maybe a son who is, he's veered off. That'll be big temptations. And you just don't know what to do. Huh? Well, here's what you do. You stay in between the shafts. That's what you do. And you keep going forward. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it, Andy. Don't turn to the left hand or to the right hand. Amen. They're just going to go dead straight ahead. That's the word. Go forward. Remember Israel at the sea. Remember, here they're now standing and they can look back and Egypt's army's coming in. What does the Lord say? Moses, go forward. Go forward. So let's watch them here. Verse 13, and they of Beth Shemesh were reaping. It was a harvest time. They're reaping in the valley. Do you notice what they do, brother? They lifted up their eyes. I just seen that wee bit when I was reading it again this morning. They lifted up their eyes. Busy bringing in a harvest. It suggests money, does it not? The harvest. The busyness. But they lifted up their eyes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He taught the people and He says, lift up your eyes and behold, there's a harvest already white unto harvest. Lift up our eyes. If we could only lift our eyes up and see the great need of people out there that need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oswald J. Smith, he was a pastor in the Canadian, in Toronto, many, many years ago. So he did preach constantly to the same people. He did do that. But he also said these words, why? Why should a man hear the gospel twice when there's millions hasn't heard it once? And he preached for years in one church, keeping preaching the gospel. Why? And so young people, to get this idea, this thought, this challenge into your hearts. Why? Why should men hear it for 30 years and fight and argue about it when there's others haven't heard it once? So they lifted up their eyes, saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. Amen. And so we go out into, brother, you've seen the video anyway and you've heard it before, but what a blessing it is when you go out with tracts, when you talk to people about the Lord Jesus, the hunger, the desire, the great want in their souls to listen to the word of the Lord. They rejoiced to see it. Amen. And the cart came into the field of Joshua. a Beth Shemite and stood there where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the king a burnt offering unto the Lord. A burnt offering. Here's total sacrifice now. Here's two cows. And then the work of bringing the ark back. It's a whole burnt offering. And so for you and me, to do our work for the Lord, He wants us to be that burnt offering. See me on the altar lie. My all, my life, this very day. Do you see what it takes to bring the presence of God back again? The burnt offering. And can we stand today at the cross, motivate ourselves, looking unto Jesus? Do you want motivation today, brother, sister? Let's look to Jesus. He was the burnt offering. He was the sacrifice in His entirety. He says, I'll die for you. He says, young person, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Will you follow Jesus? Will you die? Will you die to self? Jesus says, except that corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. Dies to what? Dies to ambition. Dies to self. Dies to all my wants, and surrenders to another, to Jesus. He takes over. They became a burnt offering unto the Lord. And so, young people today, fathers and mothers, myself, a father, let's pray for families, young fellas and girls. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, take them and use them for your glory. Do you remember Hannah? Remember wee Samuel? And she could say, see, I prayed for this child and the Lord gave him. And now I give him back to the Lord. See that mother that day, mothers, fathers in the meeting. See her going back to the temple with the child, that promised child. See him there, see her, feel her heart. The temptation to bring him back in. The temptation to say, I can't go through with it. But she goes on. And then she brings him in to the temple. Brings him to Eli. In the presence of the Lord. And she says, he's the Lord's. I'm leaving him at the feet of Jesus. And it's the great prophet Samuel. May God give us, each one of us, grace to keep ourselves tight. hide in between the shafts and to go straight forward for Jesus' sake. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll just pray.
On this earth.